The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
We've talked before on this show about negativity and negative people and how it makes, how the effects of being around negative people, how it affects you. And we've also talked about positive people. And, you know, it's just, you know, being around positive people, you feel better, and negative people, you just feel bad. And we want to talk about that today. And I've got my regular monthly guest, Jessica Zavala, who's an intuitive and life coach and the author of the book, Love Is, which hopefully will be published soon. I think it's about to be published, didn't it, Jess?
Yeah, this winter, finally.
Okay, you've had some delays, I think, but it's finally going to be out there.
Yeah, lots of derailments and whatnot, but it's definitely coming out, and it'll be a great book to come out towards, like, Valentine's Day, too, you know?
Uh-huh, it will.
All about love and heart and all, so
yeah.
Yay!
Okay, good, and it'll be in bookstores, stores everywhere. And we can actually have a link on the site on America Out Loud that you can also buy it there. Okay, Jess, we talked about being around positive people and negative people. How important is, and I know we've talked about this, a good bit off air, but how important is it for people to stay positive, to be in a more positive frame of mind and to hang out with positive people?
Well, for me, that's what I constantly strive for. I know life isn't perfect, and no, everything's not going to be packaged up and pretty and a bow and great and grand constantly. But for me personally, I really do try and strive for, you know, that positive outlook in my own life, just because I know how it affects me, especially being the whole intuitive, very sensitive to energy. It's really important for me, especially to stay in somewhat a very, like, zen, peaceful sort of mode, because emotions can sort of overwhelm me a little bit more than most, because I do strive a lot to just keep in a very positive outlook.
How does it affect you? I mean, you're very sensitive, and there are other sensitive people out there too. And I've said this before, especially these younger children, a lot of those are sensitive. A lot of them are sensitive. How does it make you feel to be around really negative people?
Yeah, well, stress affects us all, you know, as a whole. Nobody's immune to it. Everybody loses it, you know, some more than most. But for really sensitive people who tend to be more like on the psychic level or the healers and whatnot, the sensitive people of the world that feel things and are in tune to things more, it's a little bit overwhelming, you know. It can physically make you feel really bad. And people who are not sensitive, they can feel physically ill too. They start feeling anxious or sweaty or confused. Aggravated is usually the one that everybody starts feeling. You know, like when you're stressed out, you're in on a negative note, you're going to feel annoyed. You know, nobody likes feeling stressed or in a rush or angry. But for sensitive people, yeah, they tend to feel a little stronger. They'll physically feel sometimes nauseous. They'll have to actually leave the situation, whether it's, you know, a fight with a spouse or, you know, the kids or whatever it may be. People are just affected different by stress. Some people shut down. Some people get hostile. You know what I mean? And this is just regular people, you know. So, yeah, it affects everybody, you know, in different ways. Some people will they'll shut down emotionally. They just almost, like, can't handle it. Some people will get rageful, you know, and that's more along the lines of, like, how my mother, you know, I was raised in a house where she, you know, she was like a ticking time bomb. Like, she didn't shut down. She, you know, started shouting and yelling and, you know, getting crazy and whatnot. So people have different ways of dealing with stress and anger. So, you know, it just varies from different people. But, yeah, it's something that we should all sort of strive to sort of, you know, maintain, to be somewhat in a a neutral level or at least a positive level of, you know, happiness, because nobody likes to feel stressed. Nobody likes to feel angry or anxious, and just being around all that, it really affects different things about the person, like their physical, their emotional, all of that.
Yeah, it can very much negatively affect our health in many different ways by that. And we want to discuss an article today that we want to talk about toxic people and negative people we're calling toxic people. And again, we're not saying that anybody's perfect. We all mess up. And we all have some of these, at least some of these on the list in us. It's just we're talking about people who wallow in it, who this is their main thing. They're just very, very toxic. That's the type of person that we're talking about, who's like these, who has these characteristics most of the time. And there's an article at Forbes.com by Travis Bradbury that says the title is 10 Toxic People You Should Avoid at All Cost. And he lists some of them. He lists, of course, 10 of them. And the first one he lists is gossip. Now, that is something that I cannot stand. Now, we've all I've gossiped before. Everybody's gossiped before. But, you know, that's something we need to try not to do. I try not to do that anymore. But gossip, I cannot stand to be around someone that just thrives on gossip, that they just love to tear down other people. And you can tell some people absolutely love that. I mean, you know, some people love football games, some people love all kind of different sports and everything, but some people, it's like it's their sport. They love, you can see them light up, their eyes light up, they get more energy, and they're just enthralled in spreading the gossip and telling something about somebody. I cannot stand to be around that type of person. And, you know, so he lists that as the number one thing. And there's something a quote he has in here of Eleanor Roosevelt, who says, "Great minds discuss ideas, average ones discuss events, and small minds discuss people." And that's by Eleanor Roosevelt. I love that quote because it's so true. What's your take on gossips?
Yeah, I love that quote. I've loved that for a long time. I think the first time I heard it, I just like start, you know, busting out laughing because you know, I don't like gossip. Yeah, you know, and nothing's more intriguing sometimes, you know, than, you know, wanting to know something about someone that, you know, maybe or maybe not true. But yeah, so if you're basing off your whole conversation off of just, you know, gossip alone, I mean, it could be very intriguing for a lot of people and for most, actually, because it gets the conversation going, you know. You really will find that if people take away gossip as conversation starters or fillers, I swear, you know, it'd be hard to keep that conversation going.
Yeah, that's true for a lot of people, or for some people.
Yeah. Or taking away, you know, like take away gossip and negative problems. Don't talk about neither one. Talk. I swear, 9 times out of 10, you're going to probably get the person, like, looking around, like, with tumbleweed blowing and not knowing what to say, you know?
Right, that's just what I'm talking about. Some people live to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And you can always know if someone is gossiping a lot about other people, they're going to gossip about you.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, people, you know, they love it, and a lot of, you know, the PTA moms, that's why I don't get too close to them. I mean, I love helping at my daughter's school, but a lot of them know me as, oh, she helps. Yeah, yeah. Oh, but I don't know her that well. We say hello here and there, but I don't know her that well, you know, because I don't want to stand around talking about other moms and talking bad about teachers and talking bad about, you know, my children. I don't get off on that. I don't dig it. You know, most of them are, you know, usually I'll sometimes pass by them and overhear them. And they're just saying how, like, word for word, how much of a little blank their child is and that they can't stand them. And it's just like, I think, wow, did I just hear that mom say that? It's just it's just very interesting to me. And I know not everyone's like me. I get it. But still, you know, for people just around, you know, and badmouth their children or their husbands or their whatever, it's like, I get it. Life can be tough and okay, let's vent a bit. But if that's like always what you're talking about, that's not really my crowd. You know, I'm not going to really sit and just talk about that stuff. So a lot of them know of me mostly, but not know me. Cause I kind of keep my distance. It's just not, gossiping and spreading whatever about this parent or that parent. It's just not fun.
Yeah, and being around toxic people, and we're going to talk about some more of these characteristics also, but being around toxic people has just very negative side effects, like we just said, to our health. But I also wanted to mention in this article, they talk about some recent research from Friedrich Schiller University in Germany that shows just how serious being around toxic people or the effect they have on us is. And they talk about how that it causes, being around toxic or dealing with toxic people causes subjects' brain to have a massive stress response. And something that kind of concerned me, because, we've all been around toxic people, and believe me, I have been around my share, believe me. And it says weeks of stress cause reversible damage to brain cells. And listen to this. Months of stress can permanently destroy them. And that got me concerned, and I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe that's my problem with my brain. I've been around too many toxic people all my life. But, it does kind of worry you a little bit, but I'm hoping that they'll regenerate. But anyway, I'll find some more brain cells somewhere. But it is a serious thing. I mean, they're learning more and more of the effects stress has on us, and being around toxic people is a stress. It's a major stress.
I believe that has to do with the mind literally shutting down because it's not able to deal with the pain, the physical pain stress can put on you. Yeah. It's like your brain literally shutting down. The brain cells dying and all. It's stress will do so much to you. I mean,
yeah, and we don't even know the half of it. I mean, we really don't know the half of what stress really is doing to us. Okay, which one on the list jumped out to you of this list of 10?
I liked number 3. It's the victim. I come across a lot of these people. And, the victim is usually the one who it's always something's going on and it's poor me. And
it's never their fault. It's never their fault either.
Yeah, it's never their fault. And they use it as a crutch, to gain sympathy from everyone around them. You're like, poor baby. Oh my God, poor baby. That's why this is like this. Oh, I get it. Using things, whether it's using your family issues when you were growing up as a crutch or, your kids or, whatever it may be, there's always going to be some reason this is why this is, it's never really their fault. Throwing the torch to someone else for blaming, whatever happened to them. It's just not, it had nothing to do with them,
Yeah. We see this a lot in our society today, especially with the younger crowd, not to pick on them, but hey, but we do, we see this a lot in society, and it's just a lack of personal responsibility. I mean, nobody wants to take personal responsibility anymore.
Right. And then pain, they were saying pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
Right.
Yes, things happen in life. Life is not easy, I'm a single mother. I left my daughter's father because he was starting to get abusive physically, and I just couldn't think of raising her in a house like that. I would not, so here I was with a beautiful, 2-year-old and heading to my mom's for that reason for a crutch and poor me and all that. But I didn't. I used it as a stepping stone of saying, no, I'm going to make an example for this beautiful child to look up to, and be a strong person, persevere through anything. I use that to give me a fire, to keep going, move forward. Don't use it as an excuse to be, limited,
And, usually when we go through anything, it's usually there to teach us something. And so we really need to be paying attention and try to learn from it. And not that any of us are perfect by any means. And, you know, sometimes if we want to be a victim, you know, we'll be a victim for about 2 minutes and then get over it, learn from it, move on. You know, but some people just, they wallow in it. And that's what, to me, that's just unacceptable. You know, you just don't wallow in these things. You know, get over them and get on with life. The number four, the self-absorbed. That is something that that's one that kind of really gets to me. You know, we all know these people that it's all about them. It's all about them. Mm-hmm. And I bet you see this a lot in your work too, don't you?
Yeah, I mean the victim too. It's all about them too.
That's true.
It's
no, that's true.
Way of it being all. Yeah, the self-absorbed is another way of just being all about them. You know what their needs are. Oh, just because I want this, and you know, it doesn't mesh well with others. Oh well, you know, the ego running mad, basically. You know.
Yeah, and a narcissistic. We're living in a very narcissistic society, and people they for some reason, and I don't know why. If it's just. I guess it's just, I don't know if it's the parents or just we're falling down on our jobs. I don't know what it is, or if it's the group of the kids being born.
I think it had a lot to do with the social media thing. I mean, it's so easily accessible to be your own little celebrity, and girls obsessed with posting selfies like on a constant basis. Literally, I mean, everybody knows how I am on Facebook. They know me, you know, they've known me. I really don't know anybody on Facebook that doesn't know me. It's very rare that I accept people that I don't know, but, you know, I'm not the type to post selfies constantly because I think it's a little weird. And this society,
yeah, me too.
You know, it's just, yeah, it's so easily accessible to, here, look at me. Oh, look at me doing this. Look at me eating a cheeseburger. Oh, look at me doing this. You know, it's the narcissistic sort of like, look at me, please. I need these likes. I need this attention.
Yeah.
And I think it's sort of it's just adding on to the problems of, you know, people doing outrageous things on the internet just to sort of look at me and be seen, you know, and it's really, it's sort of sick, you know.
It is. And some people, that's all they post are selfies, you know, and I don't want that much attention, you know, and you know, I can be a private person too. I really don't want you to know everything that's going on. Not that it's bad, but it's just none of your business. You know, I do post some things, but you know,
literally they're posting pictures as though, you know, they're so scared you're going to forget how they look. It's like, why again? You know, it's too much. Yeah. It's too much.
Yeah, it is too much. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Beverly Butler and Jessica Zavala on the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And we're talking about toxic people and who they are and what we need to do with them. And we'll be right back.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
There's an article that lists 10 characteristics of toxic people. And it also talks about some recent research that talked about how that we're greatly affected by toxic people, because they greatly affect not all kinds of things, but especially our brain. It really stresses out our brain. We've talked about the gossip, the victim, and the self-absorbed. We're talking about narcissism when we left before the break, and that is something that I really hope this generation gets out of that. But I don't know how people change that. I mean, I'm sure the psychologists could help and stuff.
Yeah, get awoken. They need to be awoken. They need to be awakened, the whole realizing that that's just not, you know, what's important in life. You know, it's just the ego run amok, you know. And when you realize it's not so important for people to see you on the internet eating a salad or a cheeseburger or on vacation. I mean, great, you're going on vacation, wonderful. Nothing's wrong with any of that stuff. But when it comes excessively, it's too much, you know. It's just, you got to stop and think, who are you really doing this for and why? Are you doing this for a specific image, or are you doing this just because, you know, you want to share that part of your life, which is okay. That's what Facebook and Instagram is all about. A lot of that you can use too to help your business, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just, you know, the fine lines of narcissistic, you know, behavior and, you know, okay behavior, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of these characteristics, they run together. You know, narcissism kind of runs in a lot of these. And another one that stands out to me is the manipulator. Now, boy, haven't we known these type people.
Yeah, my daughter's dad.
These people, seems like they just only want to be around you if they can get something from you, which is just so sick, you know.
You can see that in friends. You can see that in family. You know, it's just, you see all over. You know, there's definitely those out there randomly. You just got to be careful because, you know, it's kind of also along the lines of the victim. You know, the manipulator will make you feel like that person, you wronged them, when really maybe you just stood up for yourself. You know what I mean? It's just, there's a very fine line there too.
Right. And it's amazing how they can turn things around. And even though they've done something wrong to you, but they can turn it around and make you feel guilty. I don't understand how they do that. That blows my mind.
It's an art form to me. Like, people really, they're good at it. When you're good at it, you're good at it, you know. And it starts, you know, from infancy in a sense, you know, like sort of manipulating your mom into getting more of what you want, or, you know, blaming the dog for coloring on the wall. I mean, it's just different, you know, it's behavior, it's human behavior, but the run amok part, you know, it's just, you got to be careful with those people because, you know, like I said, my daughter's father, you know, we're friends now. We keep it very cordial. You know, she's that's my daughter's father. But, you know, in our relationship, he really was that. You know, he really manipulated the situation to where I had to catch myself and tell myself, you need to leave this situation or you're going to be another, you know, bruised and battered woman justifying his actions. And that's not okay. And your daughter can't, you know, your daughter can't grow up thinking that's okay too. So, and you see it all over. I mean, you see it in your parents too. Parents can become that too, or friends.
It goes back to about, you know, not taking personal responsibility. You know, it's like they can do no wrong. They think.
Yeah.
What about the Dementor? Exactly. Number 7. It says they're talking about the Dementor as someone who is a highly negative person. You know, and it says that, you know, these are the people that the glass is always half empty, and they can make something that's good to turn into something bad, and they walk in a room and suck all the life out of it. Now, we've all known these type of people. And these are the type of people you just feel really bad. I mean, you can with any of these, but this type of person, the very negative person, you just feel bad being around them.
Yeah. Sometimes if you're around them a little too long, you know, you start picking up their mannerisms and start becoming that. And it's very easy to do that. You know, you become like the subject of your environment. You know, you just start picking up on all those little negative habits.
Yeah, which is another good reason to limit our contact, you know, limit your contact with these top people. But, you know, we first have to identify who they are, although we really kind of know, but bringing it to the surface. And I mean, I think this is a very good article that helps you think, you know, because we get busy with our day-to-day lives and we're around these people and we don't really think about how they're affecting us. And we do need to really watch out for the people that we surround ourselves with, because we can, like you said, we can pick up their bad habits. It's easy for this stuff to rub off on us. And, you know, we've got to kind of guard against that.
Yeah. And you know what I noticed? A lot, not all, because, you know, not all. I wouldn't say all, but a lot of people, they get stuck in that mind frame where they literally think that they don't realize how bad they can actually be stuck in that sort of negative, you know, nagging, or, you know, talking constantly about the problems or whatever. I don't feel swept up in it. They don't realize, kind of like they've lost sight of that, wow, I am a pretty negative person, because it's so normal to them. You know, they just figure, oh, it's just life. I'm just, what, I can't, you know, bitch about life. It's like, well, you can, but honestly, really?
Yeah, and that's, you know, the danger. That's the danger, is that we can get, you know, people can get involved so much into these characteristics, into these, doing these things and becoming a toxic person, that it can become normal to you. You know, and I wonder, it makes you wonder what is happening to their brain. I mean, in that study where it talked about, let me see where the study was, from Friedrich Schiller University in Germany, where it said that being around a negative person severely stresses your brain, and being around it for a prolonged period of time can you know, permanently kill brain cells. What about the people themselves that are this way all the time? What is it doing to their brain?
Yeah, for sure. I think as parents too, you have a bigger responsibility to be more cautious, because your children are the environment of their upbringing, and they can't just leave the house because mommy's in a bad mood or daddy, whatever. You know, it's like you kind of have to be a little conscious, I would say, and have some sort of self-respect, self-control, and realize what these children are being, you know, around constantly, if that is the way you're being. There's nothing wrong with being bad for there, because it's normal, and kids need to see that, you know, mommy and daddy are mad. It's perfectly normal. But when it's a constant thing, because I was brought up that way. I was brought up in a constant, like, battle zone. It was really toxic, you know, constant fighting and whatnot. But yeah, I think they have more of a responsibility since they have children, and they have to be careful, because those kids are going to absorb all those things. And they're probably the ones that get bullied at school, because yeah, they don't stand up for themselves, or probably the bully, because they feel like it's okay to lash out and be mean to people. You know, it goes either way. There's really no telling which way it's going to go.
Yeah, and that's the danger. You know, that's the danger of us as parents not being a good role model to our children, because we don't know how they're going to receive that and interpret that, and how that's going to play out in their lives.
Yeah.
And what is it doing to their brain cells if we, as a parent, are a toxic person ourselves?
Right. You know?
I mean, this is really, Jess, this has really got me concerned about these brain cells now, I'll tell you.
I think it's like, the brain, literally the brain shutting down, like, this is too much for me, I'm out.
Maybe that's what it's doing to save the brain cells, you know. But when I read that, I'm like, oh, man, I'm in trouble.
Let me shut this down. This is too much for me, you know. Yeah. Stress can do so much to you. I mean, physically, I know that there's studies that people who are under a lot of stress and a lot of, you know, chaos, they get sick more, or, you know, they're negative, because it's more of a lower frequency level. And anybody, and we've talked about the whole, you know, frequency level, so to speak, of, you know, people and their energy, because we're all atoms, we're all made up of cells and atoms, and, you know, you'll read any science book, it'll tell you, you know, we're all made up of energy.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'm glad you brought this up, because these negative energies, they have a tremendous effect on our health, because that's where, and again, like you've said, we've talked about this before, this is where disease and depression and all these things vibrate and resonate. It's in these lower frequencies of, you know, being a highly negative person or being a self-absorbed person, you know, all these negative things, being a victim, you know, especially when you wallow in it, in these negative energies, you're setting yourself up for sickness. You're setting yourself up for sickness. And and on that note, we're going to take another quick break, and we will be right back. This is Beverly Butler, and you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.
I'd like you to meet Dr. Andrea Pennington. She's an international speaker, best-selling author, and talk radio host of Liberate Your Authentic Self on America Out Loud. Andrea, when you meet someone who is not living the authentic life, what do you say to them?
There's no reason to settle for anything less than an out loud life, and you deserve it. No matter what you might have been told or programmed or brainwashed into, you deserve to have a fabulous, out loud, kick-ass life.
Well, listen, I look at you as a media guru. You've been on with a lot of the big shows. I want to ask you, how important is this platform, America Out Loud, to your overall mission?
The America Out Loud platform is allowing me to really spread my wings and stretch out and share my truth in a way that I cannot do on other big media networks. Here I get to be my authentic, out loud self. And yes, I'm a little quirky, a little nerdy, and deeply spiritual. So this is a huge, huge gift to me and my brand. And I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs. AmericaOutLoud.com. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on both Android or Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We've been talking about the dementor, or the highly negative person, and how wallowing and being such a negative person and having these, or just being a toxic person, with a lot of these characteristics that we're going over, it really sets us up for sickness. It sets us up to, because the lower vibrations, the energetic, lower energetic vibrations, that's where sickness resides. And that's why having, you know, being around positive people and being a positive person and being, a person that, you know, works on really just loving everybody and being in that state of love and gratitude, those are the two highest energetic vibrations there are. And that's where health and happiness and joy reside. And that should be the goal of everybody, is to strive toward being in that state of just love and gratitude and, you know, just being thankful. And we're talking about, go ahead, do what now?
As much as possible, you know, because
it's
life
true.
Is crazy.
It's true, know, and we have to work on that every day. Yeah, we have to work on that every day.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, but it's just striving for that as much as possible, because things come up, and being in that state of mind 24/7, unfortunately, trust me, I've tried, unfortunately, is not really sort of, you know,
it's not realistic. It's just
not
realistic.
It's not attainable. It's not realistic. It's not attainable. Something's going to come at some point, and that's okay. It's life.
Yeah,
but
it is. And
to strive for it, it's important for sure.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, we do need to practice, and I've talked about this on the show before, we are to feel our feelings and let them move through us. That's important. But I think what we're saying here is, like you said, mm-hmm. to strive to be more positive, more loving, have more gratitude. That should be our goal, and we should work at that. But if we're having a bad day, we're having a bad day. And if we have these feelings, we really shouldn't suppress them. We need to just let them flow through us and just feel them, and so they can move on out. You know, but we're talking about you know, with these toxic people, these are chronically toxic people. These are people that, you know, for the most part, they don't really, I don't think they realize. I mean, really and truly, in all fairness, I don't think these people that, the people that exhibit these characteristics really realize what they're doing and really realize, you know, how they are. I really don't. Now, some probably do, but I think a lot of them don't. So it's having self-awareness that's also really, really important, you know, for self-improvement. And that's why it's important to talk about this stuff, because none of us are perfect. We all have probably some of a little bit of all this in us at least, and some more than others. And by us being aware of this, then it allows us to, you know, to work on it and to try to improve. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about improving and, you know, feel our feelings, let them move through us, but then try to get back to that, you know, like you said, strive to be, you know, in that state of love and gratitude. Twisted. Don't you just love number eight? Don't you just love number eight, the twisted? And what that's talking about are really sadistic people, people who have bad intentions, and they derive deep satisfaction, it says, from the pain and misery of others. And really, that's the definition of being a sadistic person, where you love making other people miserable. Now, a person like that, to me, a person like that has got some very serious emotional problems. And I think we need to stay far away from those.
They definitely are. And, you know, a lot of people who love to try and help others, because, you know, there's different people. I mean, you're brought up, I believe we're born different. We're all born different. There's, you know, there's the leaders, and then there's the soft, gentle people. There's the comic relief. We need all of these people in the world because, you know, the soft people can do so much more than the leaders, maybe, because the different approaches, you know, approaches to how to change someone or to help someone, because not everybody responds the same way. You know, we all have different styles of being. So someone more sensitive can get through to someone who maybe is either suicidal or in a tough situation, to talk them through something. Someone more, you know, leadership could they're going to probably tell them, like, snap out of it, stop it. And that's not going to help the person, you know, change their mind frame. If anything, that's going to hurt them more. So we all play different roles, I believe, in life. And it's important for all of us to just appreciate every different one of them. But yeah, no, this twisted one is really bad, because this twisted one, you know, it can take on a different approach of, like, let's say someone who wants to help, someone like a natural nurturer. The twisted people sort of tend to prey on those people because they're more sensitive and soft and want to help, but yet they take that to their advantage, or they use that to their advantage because they want to sort of twist it, manipulate it, to take advantage of this person, you know. And I see it all the time in readings when I'm doing with clients, of people going through stuff like that. You know, the healers of the world, because they're so sensitive, are getting, you know, sort of manipulated and treated more like this. The twisted people, the ones that seek only, you know, to bend things to their liking, what they want out of the situation, like the users, you know, people who use and prey on, I don't want to say prey on the weak, more prey on the people who are like the sensitive, gentle souls who only want to sort of help, you know?
Yeah.
They need to watch out for that. Everybody has, like, you know, that sort of, you know, the kryptonite thing, you know, like something that really gets to them, that their weakness, you know? I feel like the number eight, the twisted, they really do prey on them. Because the leaders are going to totally sideswipe them and be like, no, you know, you can't get through to those people, but because they're not easily taken advantage of. They know more or less, and they don't want to entangle themselves with these types of people. But particular ones, because they tend to like to help people through things, they got to watch out for these kinds of people.
Yeah. Okay, here's a big one, number nine, the judgmental.
Which is that one? judgmental.
The judgmental. Yes. It's like their way or the highway, and if it's not the way they think it needs to be, then it's wrong, and they feel like they're better than everybody else, and on and on and on and on. And, you know, you can feel, you know, they can, you can come in and tell them about your dreams and what you've accomplished and everything, and they can, you can end up leaving feeling terrible. I mean, it's uh-huh. like these people just love to just throw water on your parade or something, you know. And we see this a lot in religious people, but we see it in all kind of people.
That. Yeah, it's true.
And so that's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. And you know, we just need to learn to just appreciate everybody and all of our differences.
Right. Yeah, you and I both, you know, have been brought up in very, very, very religious upbringings, and you know, me Jehovah Witness, and you was it Christianity, right?
Yeah,
Christianity. And yeah, I think we could both sort of vouch for that. That unfortunately, a lot of them, you know, it's their way or the highway, or if it has anything to do with anything that they're believing, or you know, if it contradicts what they think, it's just like no, get that away from me. Go down 10 steps and keep walking, or no, it can't. It's just not. It's not what I believe.
Yeah, and they're very closed-minded, very closed, narrow-minded, and you can't reach them a lot of times. I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't hit any of them, but they just have that way of thinking, and for a certain percentage of them, they're not going to think any other way, and so, you know.
It's a high percentage. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's a high percentage.
I wouldn't say all for sure. I've met some beautiful people who are, you know, Bible readers and whatnot. But I would say there's like a high percentage. It's more than half. I was brought up with these people, so I could definitely say more than half. In my religion growing up, I remember the most, they call it chismosos or chismosas, I think in Spanish, is like the gossipers, the ones who know everything and talk about everything, were the wives of the elders, of who the elders were in that. And Jehovah Witnesses were like the hierarchy men, you know, that gave talks and sermons, I could say. The women, because whenever anyone in the congregation had problems, they would have a family meeting, they would discuss the issue, and of course, you know, the husbands went home to their wives and of course talked about it, and then the wives, oh my God, had so much to say to each other after that, and spreading what was going on in that particular family and pointing fingers and judging. It was very sort of sick, you know, like the ones that spread the most gossip were the hierarchy wives, because they knew all the they knew everything that was going on, because their husbands would, you know, have nightly discussions about what was just said at that particular family's house, you know. So yeah. It's just a very decaying sort of place to be, because you didn't feel loved there. You felt judged. You felt ostracized. You felt, you know, punished and pushed and just outcast, you know. You didn't feel loved and understood, that everybody goes through things. Nobody's perfect, you know. It was very distorted,
yeah. Yeah, similarly. Well, what about number 10, the arrogant? We have a few of those around, don't we? It says arrogant people, quoting from the article, arrogant people are a waste of your time because they see everything you do as a personal challenge. they have major insecurities, obviously, these people.
It's putting people down because of what they feel. And another thing too, the religion, you know, that they would feel weird stuff, you know, like, oh, I know what happened with your child. Oh, you're a bad mom for that. You know what I mean? It was the arrogance of like the superiors of what you knew. They used that information they knew about your family to almost belittle you. And it just was so messed up.
Yeah. Well, we've covered I think maybe eight of them. We kind of skipped over the envious. The envious people who always think the grass is greener somewhere else. We do have definitely have plenty of those. And then the temperamental. Now, the temperamental are the people that have absolutely no control over their emotions. And I was around someone like that for quite a while, and that can be very, very stressful. I think this is one of the more stressful characteristics, or one of the more stressful type toxic person you can be around, because it's like walking on eggshells. Eggshells around them. You never know when they're going to explode sometimes. And you may necessarily not do anything. It may be something else that ticks them off, and you just have to just kind of deal with it. But those are tough people to be around, really tough people, when they cannot control their emotions.
Yeah, they're scary.
Well, what do we need to do? You know, this article has a couple of suggestions. We'll see if you have any. Number one, two things it basically says is to distance yourself from these type people emotionally. And the second thing is to establish boundaries. You have to be aware at all times when you're around them. You watch them, and you know when you can learn their tricks of the trade, so to speak. But you have to be aware and to know when to interact with these people and when not to. So you have to establish boundaries. What say you on that? Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I agree. You know, creating a space between you and them, learning, you know, that you have the right to sort of walk away from that sort of environment. And then also, you know, self-respect. Honestly, the self-respect part of knowing, like, okay, I don't like this. Do I really want to stand here and listen to this because I want this PTA mom to like me or to fit in? A lot of it has to do with that too. And, you know, the fitting in, oh, I don't want to be different. You know, I don't want them to think whatever. If the self-esteem, if you don't like it, then walk away. There's no sense in making yourself sick or feeling whatever because you know, you wanted to take a part of this group that you felt were cool or whatever, you know. I thank God that for some reason, I don't know, it may be the Scorpio thing too, but I never really had too much of a problem wanting to fit in too much. I kind of always liked being different. I didn't like too much being copied a lot, like my style of dress or whatever. I liked being unique. That was something that made me happy, is being different. But when you want to be too much about the crowd and feel like you're a part of a group because you feel like, oh, I don't want to be alone, or these are cool people and I need to be involved with what they're involved with, so let me sit around and, you know, listen to them gossip, you know, like, especially, I hate to point this out, but, you know, I think women are sort of more susceptible to stuff like this because they kind of care a little bit more, and women tend to be more of the gossipy kind too. They are, you know, it's just the way it goes. But I guess self-respect, you know, knowing that you don't have to be a part of a certain group to feel like you're good enough or you're cool enough. Just, you know, if you like it, great, stick around. But if you don't, you know, just walk away. Who cares, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and in other words, it's okay to walk away from toxic people. And I know, we have talked before, and I know that you, earlier in your life, and I want you to talk a little bit about this, but I know earlier in your life, what we've got just a little bit of time left, that when you were waking up, as we call it, that you had to kind of get away from a lot of your friends and family, and you had to get new friends because you were changing your life and you wanted to be around more positive people. What was that like for you when you got rid of a lot of toxic people in your life?
Well, like I said, I'm glad that sort of spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, you know, made me very, you know, I was okay to be different. I loved the unique part of me. I still want to be different. So But it was still hard. It was still hard because these were people I was breaking away from that I had made my family. You know, in high school, all these friends were so important to me. I had a very broken home in a sense where very religious upbringing, but, you know, none of the religious beliefs sort of came home. We went to church, heard about all this great stuff, and went home, and it was chaotic. None of what was being said, the love, the kindness, the forgiveness, you know, was never really participated in. We never really worked on doing that as a family. So growing up, I had it was very discord with my parents, and so I took to my friends very, very much. They were like my family. You know, I instilled all my love into them, and I would hang around them as much as possible. School was my favorite. You know, I would leave school, and we'd leave fourth and fifth period, or sometimes, you know, the whole day, and we'd go do, you know, things that we shouldn't have been, you know, but that was the thing. It was so important to me because I didn't feel like I had a family life at home. There was no love there. You know, I didn't feel accepted or loved, but with my friends, I did. So it was really hard for me, though, in my awakening to break free from them because, you know, a lot of them were still doing the stuff that we were doing in high school, and I didn't want to do that anymore, which were things like, you know, getting drunk during school and doing drugs, smoking weed in the back of the school or whatever, you know. I didn't want to do that anymore in life. I didn't want to get high and just do nothing. I had like all these goals that I wanted to do. And the more I strived for myself, a lot of my friends didn't like that. At the time, the friends that I had, they didn't like it because it was like, what, are you better than us now? Or you better than this? There was that kind of attitude, you know, and it wasn't really accepted as, oh, good job, that sounds cool, yeah, go, that's a good idea, go for it. It was anything different from the group was not okay. So it was hard. It was hard because I tried to do the whole, like, you know, bettering myself, yet still sort of congregating with them, going to gigs and parties and drinking, but it just wasn't, I couldn't, like, it just wasn't, you know, driving. It wasn't flowing. They would start getting angry with me because I just to be, you know, so I broke free from them. I had to, it was not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And
so
then my family,
was it,
though, too.
Was it when you started waking up?
Yeah, it was because I was waking up. I didn't want the same thing. I wanted to, you know, do things with my life. I had things I wanted to fulfill. You know, just more positive in my life because I was practicing self-love also. And if you self-love yourself, you're not going to be, you know, doing drugs. You're not going to be putting poison in your body. You're not going to be actively doing things that are bad for your health. Yeah. You know, and I just didn't, it wasn't lining up anymore. So it was hard. Actually, they were harder to break free from than my family were because I had more of a bond with them, my friends from high school.
Yeah.
But my family, that was a little bit more easier to break free from because there wasn't a whole lot of bonding. There wasn't a whole lot of love there. It was very chaotic and sort of disorganized. So them, you know, it was a little easier for me to do.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, now, right quick before we go here, we're just about at the end of it. In 30 seconds or less, tell us, was it hard when you got kindly started moving the negative people, your older friends and all, out of your life, was it easier? Did the new friends, more positive people, did they come into your life fairly easy or did that take a while?
Positive people coming in my life, that came little by little here and there. But it was more of like cleaning house, you know. Spirit was cleaning house of my life. You know, I remember out of a sudden wanting to read everything. You know, I would read, you know, Dr. Wayne Dyer. I would read things about, you know, Bruce Lee. You know, I would read anything that had to do with, you know, positive growing in life. I remember reading you know, like self-realization, the Tao Te Ching, like the Lao Tzu, you know, different lifestyles as far as growing up and being a better person. I did find friends in that, but I think still the people that are lost more sort of outweighed the people that are gained, though, too. I mean, I do have those positive people in my life, but and I'm grateful for them, but it's hard because you look back and you think, you know, you had to let that go, but really it's something you need to do. You can't hold on to that. Yeah. You really can't, because it's a lie. It's like a lie in your life, you know, to keep around. Yeah. You're no longer like that.
Yeah. And I think what, you know, probably the best thing, you know, probably one of the best takeaways from this show today, we've talked about 10 different characteristics of toxic people. But one of the best things that we all can do in our life is to minimize the negative people, toxic people, and to increase the positive people in our life. And, you know, this has been a very interesting discussion. And thank you, Jessica. We appreciate your input on this and your bits of wisdom. And we thank you for listening. This is Beverly Butler, and you've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.